We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Please, no. No.
Here we go.
The Steelers have a playoff song. Here it is.
Here we go, Steelers. Here we go. Pittsburgh's going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, they see the end of this, don't they?
The Steelers, black and the gold.
Here we go.
This town of Pittsburgh's heart and soul.
Here we go.
The Steeler Nation has the best fans. We are from Pittsburgh, the six-time Super Bowl champs.
Here we go.
Well, they got that on us.
Ba-na-na-na.
Here we go.
Da-da-na-na.
Here we go.
First time I'm hearing it.
Here we go.
And I already know the words.
Pittsburgh's going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, no, they're not. No, they're not.
Tomlin is ready to win.
Here we go.
With Jones and Pryor, Luke, Claypool, and Ben.
Here we go.
We'll go to Najee when we need a touchdown.
Oh, this is a new song.
They do it every year, yeah.
Gonna knock you around.
Here we go.
You know, I will say this, though.
Here we go.
It's pretty cool, and we're starting to get there now, where as an organization, you know you're going
to
be in the postseason, so you can create a Super Bowl song.
Kansas City, and that's all.
That's all. Yeah, that's it.
So that's it. Yes, they saw an anthem called Here We Go.
Yeah.
Roger Wood and his band through our sister station, 93.7 The Fan. Apparently, 28 years he's put together this playoff anthem, or whatever.
But that they've been in the playoffs like 28 years in a row. I mean, like that's the thing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You can wake up in the morning on July 15th when training camp's getting ready to start as a Steelers fan and know the odds are pretty good you're going to the playoffs and you're going to have an opportunity for the Super Bowl. And I'm not going to tell the old number fives to do a new song every year for the Kansas City Chiefs, but if they wanted to, we're into
that
realm now, Josh, where you wake up in the morning on July 15th getting ready for the start of training camp and it's the Kansas City Chiefs are going to the playoffs, and who's going to join them there? Who's going to be part of the party? Who are the other six teams going to be? And I think for a very long time, and I don't know where the Steelers are going in the future now, who they get at quarterback and what they decide to do there obviously will tell the tale of where the Pittsburgh Steelers end up going in the future, but they're a team as well. You wake up in the morning and you know that you're going to be in the postseason, and it's kind of cool now to be one of those teams in the NFL that, you know, quite honestly, I think, you know, people are getting tired of. People are getting bored of. We're becoming that team now that we've always dreamed of, Josh, where the national people are like, oh, the Chiefs are in there again. We know the Chiefs are going to be in there again. We're finally to that point where we've talked now for the better part of a decade of wanting to be that New England Patriots and wanting to be the Pittsburgh Steelers where nobody else wants to see you, but you love coming to the party every year, and it's a hell of a lot of fun. And so as that guy's making his song, that's what has to happen now here in Kansas City. Let's go. Every year, beginning of the season, we get a playoff song because we know we're going to the postseason.
And then, you know, then everybody will hate it.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
whoever makes the song, they'll hate it.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm sure the station Pittsburgh's getting like, that song sucks.
Yeah, stop playing that song.
So, but, you know, yeah, we wanted to be like Pittsburgh. Apparently, they have a dude that makes a song every year.
Yeah, so we need to get on that. So if anybody's got a Chiefs playoff song this year, let's go. I mean, the Run It Back song I was listening to yesterday as I was in the middle of my run, I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's run it back again, man. Let's do this thing. And I was getting fired up listening to the song. Like, it's a great opportunity again for this football team to go out there and get back to the Super Bowl, because as I've been telling you all week long, I just think the Chiefs are by far the best team in the AFC. I know they're not the number one seed right now, but a lot of times that just doesn't matter that you're not the number one seed. As long as you have the opportunity to be there like the Chiefs do, I just don't know who's going to knock them down. I just don't see a team right now that I look at and go, I'm scared of this team.
One week at a time.
Yeah, I know you are.
One game at a time.
When have I ever done that, Josh?
And I am not scared of this one game by any means.
This may be a first, too, that you're not scared of this game. And you haven't had any trepidation this week. Like, you have not played the yang to the ying at all this week.
Try to squint and go, is there a way? No,
there's not.
There's not. Unless the world turns on its head for the right. Chiefs, and they just absolutely melt down. There's no way this Steeler team hangs with them.
No, not at all. And that's the way, you know, we've talked to a lot of people this week, both inside Pittsburgh and outside of Pittsburgh, about, you know, if the Chiefs are going to lose this game, or if you want to phrase it, if the Steelers win this game, how does it get done? And most people you talk to are like creating scenarios that are like one in a gazillion of happening. And you know, I was reading one yesterday on the New York Times. They did a kind of a comedic look at the way that all these teams could lose or whatever it is in the postseason. It's like, well, if Patrick Mahomes drops back and sees a receiver and throws it underhanded with his left hand, you know, overhand, and it hits the receiver in the helmet, bounces off his hands, caroms into the air, hits another man in the helmet, hits somebody in the foot, and then gets intercepted, then the Chiefs could lose the game. I mean, it's like, all these crazy scenarios that have
Didn't
to happen.
Some of that happened earlier
in
the season.
And that's kind of what they based it off of, though. They're like, this kind of did happen earlier in the year, yeah, but it hasn't happened in this recent stretch where they're getting those timely turnovers, if you will, or those untimely turnovers on the offensive side. They figured out a way to protect the football, and that's good, because had they protected the football all season long in that game against especially the Chargers and especially against the Baltimore Ravens, we'd be sitting here with the number one seed locked up in October and running away with this thing and having a first round bye. So turnovers are vital. And if they do turn the football over, yeah, they'd be up the creek without a paddle. There's no question about that.
Yeah. If they're their own undoing, Pittsburgh would have a chance, mm-hmm, but otherwise they shouldn't.
They should. It's a no, huge absolutely
mismatch
not.
On paper. You have the way better quarterback.
Yep.
You have an offense that can't score against, mm-hmm, your offense that should be able to score.
Yep.
And if your defense is back on point, they have a defense that can do some things to frustrate you, but they can limit you, not stop you. So if they limit you and their offense can't do anything, you're still winning the game. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's all these scenarios. Like, it would have to have something completely turned on its head for Pittsburgh to win this game.
The only unknown for me right now in this game, and it's not an unknown, but an unknown of how they're going to handle it, is TJ Watt. I don't know what the Chiefs are going to do to kind of neutralize him, because a couple of weeks ago he neutralized himself. He had the bad ribs and he couldn't play and he wasn't healthy. But the way that he's been playing over the last couple of weeks, you can tell his ribs are healthy. He's ready to go. I'm interested to see how this interior offensive line, and even the two guys on the outside, all five of these guys actually, how they're going to handle TJ Watt, because you don't know where he's going to come from.
And the tight end.
And the tight end.
Whoever's coming to chip and a wide
Correct.
Receivers and whatever, whoever's helping, because I think they're going to offer some help.
Yeah.
And try to, you know, neutralize him. Even Ben Roethlisberger, though, knows they don't have a chance.
I mean, we're probably 20-point underdogs, and we're going to the number one team that's, I know they're not the number one seed, but they're the number one team that's won the AFC the last 2 years. Arguably the best team in football. We don't have a chance. So let's just go in and play and have fun.
Mm-hmm. I like that, Ben. I like the way you're thinking.
Lou Holtz, Ben Roethlisberger, uh-huh, downplaying the matchup.
You know, I would assume as the group you understand that, you know, we probably aren't supposed to be here. We're probably not a very good football team.
That's
we're
right.
Out of 14 teams I think are in, we're probably number 14. We're double-digit underdog in the playoffs. So let's just go play and have fun and see what happens.
Yeah, there you go. It's tongue in cheek, but you're right. Actually, all of it's right. You are probably the 14th.
Are they, or is it that the Raiders or the Eagles could kind of fall into that category of being that 14th team out there right now? Because I think Pittsburgh is well coached, and I think being well coached at this time of the year means a heck of a lot.
I think Vegas is more dangerous than the Pittsburgh, though.
Do you really? Yeah. Do you? Okay. Yeah. All right.
They can score.
Yeah, I guess. But I guess.
Pittsburgh,
I don't know.
Can't score.
I value Mike Tomlin a lot. You know that. And so I kind of look at those matchups. You start ranking the head coaches that are available, and around Tomlin would be the third best head coach, you know, I think, in this one behind Andy Reid and Bill Belichick.
Vegas has the coach of the year. I don't know what.
Why you're downplaying his abilities. I don't know what Rich Bisacci is going to do in the postseason.
No,
and when you said
don't.
Vegas has coach of the year, I thought you meant the odds were Mike Tomlin would get coach of the year.
No.
But yeah, but I don't know if Bisaccia can coach in the playoffs. I don't know what that's going to be like, especially going on the road, you know, to Cincinnati like they're doing this weekend. So I just don't know what to expect out of them. But I know Mike Tomlin will have his team ready. And Ben Roethlisberger can kind of sit there and say all that kind of tongue-in-cheek. But if I'm Tennessee, I'm pulling all that, using that as bulletin board material for me next week, because nobody's giving the Tennessee Titans any credit. And quite honestly, that's the right thing to do. Everybody knows the Kansas City Chiefs are still the AFC's best until they're not the AFC's best. Representing
That's
in
correct.
The Super Bowl anymore.
That's correct. But Andy Reid saw an alert, because this Steelers team, they're number one.
You have to erase that game and just, you know, move forward, because in this league, we've all had games where things weren't quite working right, and, you know, the other team, it does work right. So You know, and then if you have a chance to play that team again, then you got to start from scratch, especially if the team's playing so well. I mean, these guys are playing like a number one seed right now. So,
what?
You know, they, well, we got to make sure we're ready for that.
What?
Yep, yep. He told told Pittsburgh's reports. Yep, playing like this team's playing like a number one seed.
A number one seed.
Yeah.
What games has he been watching?
Number one seed. In what?
In what? Junior high football, maybe? I mean, like Ben Roethlisberger will be that uncle in a couple of years that's playing backyard football. Maybe that's a situation that, you know, we have right now as the number one seed, but they're not playing football like a number one seed. But that's the attitude that Andy has.
I'd like to think he said they're playing like a number one seed, and then he hit the mute and went,
and then, excuse me.
And then did a cough and then composed himself, but he hit the mute just in time when he was openly laughing
line. Yes.
So that they didn't hear him.
He's not the number one seed. Come on, Andy. Now look, I sound almost like a hypocrite. Because
I mean, if you close your eyes, a seven kind of looks like a
it
one.
It does. It does. That is true. You're so right maybe, about that. Maybe he thought they were the one seed. Maybe, you know, I don't know, but they're definitely not playing like the number one seed right now.
He knew the Chiefs weren't the one.
Right. Somebody else has to be, if it's not us.
It looks like that might be a one.
And maybe New England is the one seed, but Pittsburgh definitely playing like a one seed. But no, Andy is not even in the ballpark when he's saying they're playing like a number one seed. But he has to say that kind of stuff because I said yesterday that Andy Reid's job this week is not necessarily going to be on Sunday calling the plays. It's going to be the guy in the locker room this week keeping these players on task and focused on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's one thing for us to sit here and mock the Steelers and say they stink and they're no good and the Chiefs should roll and they're double-digit favorites.
You got to play mind games, though.
You do have to play games. I mean, it's back to the old days of like Bill Parcells would leave mouse traps around the locker room and say, don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. It's you know, it's rat poison. Don't go out there and believe, you know, what you're hearing out there, because if you do and you start buying into your own stuff, you can get upset in this league. I mean,
now,
you can.
Saban's the one that talks rat poison all the time.
Saban does too, but it's all from that Belichick or the Parcells tree, which trickled down to Belichick, which trickled down to Saban, which trickled down to whatever failed NFL coach is going to get hired again. Yeah. But that's the way they do things. That's the way they operate, you know, in that tree, if you will, of coaches in the NFL. It's always been about don't take the cheese, you'll get the rat trap and all that kind of stuff. So that's where Andy Reid has to do his coaching this week. To me, it's all about mentally preparing his team and making sure that they're not overlooking the Steelers. And we can have fun and say, okay, Andy, you're off your rocker saying they're playing like the number one seed. But inside that building, that's exactly the message that Andy Reid needs to be putting out there, saying you can't look at seeding. You can't look at the last game. You guys have to be focused. This team is going to come in here, and if you're not 100% focused on the Steelers and you're too busy looking about next week or upset you didn't get the one seed and have the bye, you're going to have plenty of byes because you're going to lose this game to the Steelers. So that's Andy's biggest job this week.
We head to Pittsburgh for the pulse on the Steelers with radio host Chris Mack of 93.7 The Fan, who is also dealing with an 8-year-old son who's rooting for Mahomes and the Chiefs. We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Creamy nut butter makes it delightfully sweet. Roasted nuts make it perfectly salty. Get two great tastes in one delicious bar. Enjoy a Nature Valley sweet and salty nut bar today.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply. Men over 40, is your body feeling soft and not as lean? Are you losing your energy, drive, or even your passion? If so, you could be feeling the loss of growth hormone. The reality is, as early as 25, your natural production of GH begins to significantly slow down, which means you start slowing down. Well, listen to this. New GH Boost from Nugenix is the world's first and only non-prescription supplement that safely supercharges your body's GH production at night when it naturally occurs. Clinical studies show the ingredients ingredients in GH Boost can increase your body's own GH levels more than 100% in just the first 90 minutes. And right now, Nugenix is letting every man in America try a complimentary two-week sample by texting FAVOR to 321-321 now. Get GH Boost and get your swagger back at the gym and in the bedroom. It's killing it at GNC. But you can only get your sample by texting FAVOR to 321-321. That's FAVOR to 321-321. Text FAVOR to 321-321.
Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
So a friend told me about Mr. Clean Magic Eraser, and his exact words were, "It changed my life.
I used to spend a ridiculous amount of time trying to remove tomato sauce from inside our microwave and soap scum off the bathtub.
It's like seriously magic, and my secret weapon for cleaning the kitchen, bathroom, doors and walls, and even keeping my sneakers clean.
Mr. Clean Magic Eraser.
Greatest invention ever.
Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean Magic Eraser, the unicorn of cleaning.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you 24/7 with supplies and solutions for every industry and access to product specialists ready to help. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Church's, we're doing 10 pieces of our crave-worthy comfort made spicy or classic. That's 10 legs and thighs packed with bold flavor. That's how we do value. So you can do the Church's 10 starting at $10.99 deal. Church's, bringing a down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations.
Welcome to Allstate, where saving on your auto insurance is kind of like a joyride. You, your car, and an open road. Maybe your best friend, too. The music is chill, and so is the traffic. You and your friend both look over at each other, and then he puts his head back out the window. Allstate. Here, better protection costs a whole lot less. You're in good hands with Allstate. Click, call, or visit allstate.com to save today.
Allstate and affiliates offer products and services subject to availability, terms, and conditions.
Get off my bumper. Traffic.
Traffic sponsored by BioNTech and Pfizer. Westbound K10 at 435. Getting reports of debris in the road there. Watch out for a stall. Northbound 635 Merriam Drive, KCK. Come rain or shine, high winds or mild breezes, blue skies or gray. It's a great time to consider getting vaccinated against COVID-19. Sponsored by BioNTech and Pfizer. I'm Scott Walgus, 610 Sports Radio. Get off my bumper traffic.
Time to get the lay of the land in Pittsburgh. The Chiefs opponent, of course, on Sunday, 7:15, the kickoff on 106.5 The Wolf. I'll join Mitch Holtis and Danon Hughes on the call.
Do they know that?
I'd say it on the air just so
just
they know.
Just so they know. I know. Yep. That's why I'm asking.
Never exactly sure.
Oh, you showed up again?
I said, yeah. Didn't you hear me say it on the air that I was coming? Didn't I tell you I was arriving? So we head to Pittsburgh and our sibling station, 93.7 The Fan, with Chris Mack.
Yeah, Chris, we got to start out by asking you about your parenting skills, though, because you have an 8-year-old son, and he's now a Patrick Mahomes Kansas City Chiefs fan. How the heck did that happen?
That damn Patrick Mahomes in the Madden games. We got him a hand-me-down Xbox from a relative of ours before Christmas even. Just to see if he'd like it or not, and an old Madden game. So each time he plays, he's even got to go to the length of subbing out Alex Smith and putting in a rookie Patrick Mahomes. But he does it every time, and he's fallen in love with the Chiefs. Now, he's 8 years old, so it's forgivable still. We have yet to indoctrinate him into the black and gold cult. But we were in Myrtle Beach for vacation between Christmas and New Year's, wandered into an NFL store after going to the Hall of Fame installation there. And the one jersey he wanted was, as he calls him, Patty Mahomes. So I broke down and gave it to him, never thinking, much like Mike Tomlin probably never thought he'd have to face Melvin Ingram again, never thinking I'd have to face the Chiefs in the playoffs, guys.
Well, I mean, so what do you do as a dad, though? Because, I mean, you're a Pittsburgh fan through and through. You've been rooting for this team your whole life. You make your living talking about the Steelers. And your son comes home and says, Dad, I'm a Patrick Mahomes fan, and I'm rooting for the Chiefs. Like, just take me through your reaction to that, because I would probably move out if my kids did that.
Well, I mean, if anybody's moving out, it's you know. you know what? He's eight, and he loves to get a rise out of me at this point. He knows how to push my buttons. And, you know, I overdo the reactions, too, to be honest. When I ask them, he came home from school on Monday. He had obviously not stayed up to watch the end of that Sunday night game, much like Mike Tomlin, and came home from school and asked if the Steelers made the playoffs. And I said, yeah, they almost didn't. You know, the Chargers and the Raiders almost tied. And I said, guess who they're going to play, though? And he just looked at me. And I said, Patty Mahomes. And he just gave a huge smile across his face. And I said, what? Who are you going to root for? He said, Patty Mahomes. So I obviously overdid the reaction, big eyes, like, oh, what are you talking about? So we've had fun with it, and we'll have fun with it on Sunday. We'll let them stay up and watch maybe the first quarter. They don't have school on Monday. So, you know what? It goes back to this. A lot of people in Pittsburgh, including myself, I think, and Steelers fans across the country, are kind of looking at this game as gravy, right? Like, we got the big Roethlisberger send-off at home a couple weeks ago, and then we figured, hey, if they somehow get into the playoffs, that'd be awesome. But we're not counting on it. Like, there's no way the Colts are going to lose to the Jags. And even if they do, well, the Steelers will probably blow it in Baltimore. Well, they didn't. And even when it looked like they were still going to somehow get bumped out between the Raiders and Chargers tie, they didn't. So, you know, every extra game that we get to kick back and enjoy the last few minutes of Ben Roethlisberger's career, and a team that really, everybody knew, is a borderline wild card team at best, we're going to kick back, relax, and enjoy it. And if our 8-year-olds want to break our yinz or hearts by cheering for Patty Mahomes, so be it.
Did you consider hiding the jersey just this week?
You know what? It's funny. I just got home about an hour ago, and it's sitting on the steps. He had it out to wear to school today. He's done this like half a dozen times since they got back into school. He lays it out because he lays out his clothes every night for the next day, laid it out like he was going to wear it, and then he doesn't. He like chickens out at the last minute. So it's sitting on the steps right now to go upstairs to his room. I'm gonna pressure him, I think, into wearing it, because I know that his teachers and his principal and his friends will have a good time with it.
Got to wear it on Friday. Chris Mack of The Fan in Pittsburgh with us here on 610 Sports Radio. And, you know, for us, I mean, I never look at anything as an automatic or as a given, but it seems to me like you are in a situation in Pittsburgh where we were, say, 5 or 6 years ago here in Kansas City, where you got into the playoffs, you really didn't think you had a chance, but you were in the playoffs and it felt pretty good. Is it weird having the shoe on the other foot where you're getting ready to go into the playoffs as a Steeler fan and you don't expect to win the Super Bowl?
Well, I'll be honest. What's weird is, you know, our expectations for this organization are always very high, as you point out. But again, coming into this year, they weren't necessarily that high because we knew Roethlisberger was limited. You had the mishmash offensive line, and then early in the year when they were started out 1-3 and you saw all the warts exposed for the entire world to see, you could tell this wasn't going to be a championship team. So what's odd, I guess, is we're very frustrated. Bob, you and I have talked about this in the past, where we're very frustrated by the fact that Mike Tomlin hasn't won a playoff game in half a decade. And that drives us nuts, right? That this team can't get over the hump in the playoffs, especially with some of the teams that they should have gotten over the hump with. You think of the team that lost to the Jaguars 5 years ago. I mean, that team was stacked, but the defense was terrible. And so it's frustrating because we want to see Mike Tomlin get over the hump and win a playoff game at the very least and get things going back in the right direction. But yet here we are again in this sort of feeling where this weekend is gravy. Like, if they were to somehow pull it off at Arrowhead, it would be the biggest upset in franchise playoff history, and probably one of the bigger ones in NFL wildcard history that I can remember. And again, it would all be gravy. It would just mean another week of the Steelers, another week of Ben, and who knows what would happen then, right? Because they'd go to Tennessee, and they beat Tennessee earlier this year. So, I mean, there's very little expectation on it right now. It's reminiscent somewhat, and this comparison's been made this week, to the 2005 team that was a wild card that got hot at the end of the year and went on a ride all road games, right? You know, they beat Cincy on the road. They beat the Colts on the road, which was another game where they were double-digit dogs. I think they were maybe 9.5 to the Colts that weekend on the Mike Vanderjack missed field goal, Ben tackling Nick Harper and all that. And then they went on the road to beat Denver in the AFC Championship. Now, this team is not nearly as talented as that team, but similarly to that, everything feels like gravy at this point.
Do they have to do something completely outside themselves to turn the result, being that it was just a couple weeks ago?
I think it doesn't have to be totally outside of themselves. I actually talked about this morning. you know, they turned the ball over three times the day after Christmas, and the Chiefs were just a machine, right? Scored on the first four possessions or whatever it was. They were an extra point and a missed field goal away from being up 27-0 at the half. Everything went right for the Chiefs. Everything seemingly went wrong for the Steelers. So they don't need to completely flip the script. I don't think it's got to go completely the other way where everything goes wrong for the Chiefs and everything goes right for the Steelers. But we're not far off from that. The difference is, I think the one guy who is key in all of this, and he didn't really show up in the last meeting because he wasn't 100%, only played about 50% of the snaps and only had one tackle, was T.J. Watt. T.J. Watt's been on fire, had the four-sack game, tortured Baker Mayfield, and I know Baker Mayfield is no Patrick Mahomes, but tortured Baker Mayfield, and then had the big game down in Baltimore as well this past Sunday. And again, Tyler Huntley is no Patrick Mahomes. I get it. Mark Andrews, as good as he is, he's not Travis Kelce. So, you know, the feeling, at least me personally, my feeling is, if T.J. Watt can have one of those otherworldly games like he had against the Browns a couple weeks ago, that may be enough to make it a game. And again, Roethlisberger being what he is, he's not going to go out there and sling it around for 400 yards. But if you give him one opportunity with just enough time left on the clock in a clutch moment, that clutch is still in there. Much like, you know, Peyton Manning's final year when he was a shell of himself and went on to win a Super Bowl. I'm not saying Roethlisberger's going to go on to win a Super Bowl this year, but that clutch gene, that's still in there.
How healthy is T.J. Watt? Because I know I saw the number when he plays like 60% of the snaps, the Steelers are 9-2. Is he healthy enough to get to that level of snap? Or are we expecting a big contribution from him on Sunday?
I would. There haven't been any indications otherwise. Mike Tomlin didn't indicate yesterday that he'd be limited at all this week. The way he looked against Baltimore and the week before that against Cleveland, he looked much better than he did out there the first time at Arrowhead. He might not be 110%. That groin injury is something that's going to linger with him throughout the year. He's got some bruised ribs as well, I believe. So, you know, he's not 100%, but no one is at this point in the year. And if this is what T.J. Watt over the last couple of weeks looks like at less than 100%, by all means, give it to me on Sunday night.
The Melvin Ingram topic keeps coming up, Chris, and I know we talked about it before the holiday break about him coming to Kansas City, and Mike Tomlin again talked about how he wants people who want to be there, not hostages, and that whole situation. Why can't people just accept that maybe the situation for Melvin Ingram in Pittsburgh wasn't what he thought it was going to be and he wanted to move on? Why do people feel like there has to be some kind of other underlying story to this?
Well, I think the one thing that we do, and you're right, you know, I give Mike Tomlin some credit in that if Melvin Ingram walked into his office and said, Coach, I don't want to be here anymore. I want to go someplace where I got an opportunity to play more, and Mike Tomlin acquiesced, I mean, that's a pretty mature thing to do. There would be a lot of head coaches that would slam their fist down on the desk and say, you're under contract and you're not going anywhere, right? But he acquiesced to a guy who had come in back in August and said he'd do whatever the organization wanted. He just wanted a chance to play some more. What caught me a little bit by surprise, that it was only really one game where his snaps took a significant hit. He had been playing a lot leading up to that because of injuries, both to T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith. Once both those guys got healthy, he had a week where he was down around, I want to say, like 25% of the snaps. But they were still using him situationally. I guess that wasn't good enough for him. And I guess the only team that really expressed any interest in a trade was Kansas City. So that's the route they went. It was just disappointing, I think, not to everybody, but to some of us, that, like I said, Melvin came in August, said all the right things about wanting to be a part of this organization, doing whatever they asked him. And then all of a sudden, when there was a 1 week where he didn't get quite as many snaps as he'd like, he kind of bailed and said, I think I might be hurt. Can you trade me, please?
I'm guessing it's been the exact opposite here. He hasn't said a damn thing since he's been here and just played his tail off. It's been the exact reverse.
Well, and again, he was perfectly, he was the good soldier when he first got here. Like I said, I mean, he was the few times, granted, it's not like we can go in the locker room these days. Everything's over Zoom. But the few times they had him on Zoom, he said all the right things. This is a great organization. I'm just happy to be here. Can't wait to contribute any way they ask me to. And then to see that kind of turn on a dime was interesting after how much he had bought in, it seemed, way back in training camp.
Chris, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Oh, thanks, guys. Always fun.
Chris Mack of 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh with a little Pittsburgh perspective on this game, and it's not sounding like they're buying into their Pittsburgh Steelers.
His kid's not even buying
kid's
in.
Not even buying
in. Anybody else to
how
buy
do
in?
You do that as a dad, man? Like, it's got to crush you. It really does.
And I asked him about hiding the jersey. I would absolutely hide it this week.
Yeah, have to.
Yeah, I would just... I don't know where it's at. Where'd you put it? Where's the last time you had it?
And I don't want to hear about, oh, let your kid root for whoever he wants. No, you can't let your kid in Pittsburgh root for the Chiefs.
He could have the jersey back next week, but
yeah,
I would be definitely
not today.
I would definitely be hiding it.
Can't let your kid be rooting for the Kansas City. You know what's going to happen at school to that poor kid? He's going to get made fun of by everybody. How could you root for the Chiefs?
You want close games? I bring you the NFL. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Back in Thursday edition, along with Bob Fesco, I'm Josh Klingler, Chris Tenpenny producing today. The NFL is patting itself on the back for ratings. They're doing great. The Saturday games did awesome.
Yep.
The regular season did terrific. They didn't cancel any games.
Nope. They did not. Moved a couple around towards the end, and then they stopped testing for COVID, and we're here today.
Not much, right? And yes. Yeah. COVID's over in the NFL.
Yeah.
Somebody did ask me that the other day. I said, no, it's pretty much over.
No, it's over,
do you expect it to be an impact in the playoffs?
Nope.
No, I don't.
Nope. They're not going to do that.
I don't.
Why would the NFL at this time of year test any players?
I think they've decided it's done.
It's done.
And
it's
so
over.
It's
yeah.
done.
Yeah, they've just decided we're going to move on. And look, the NFL runs this country, so maybe we should all just take our lead from the NFL and act like it doesn't exist anymore.
They got
anymore,
the CDC
right?
to move the quarantine time from 10 days down to 5.
That's right.
I firmly believe the NFL did that.
I agree.
And then Matt was like, whew. They're like, oh, good grief. Yeah, we can get guys back for the next game. Awesome.
Right.
And then now it's just nothing.
Right, nothing. Nothing at all. I told you for years I think the NFL runs this country. I think they're more powerful than the FBI, and I think they have more intel and information than maybe the FBI does on a lot of different things. And so, you know, if you tell me that the NFL, you know, talked to the CDC and got them to move the quarantine days down from 10 to 5, I'm 100% in on that.
Yeah.
I think because I do think, Josh, the NFL is one of the most important entities in this country. And I'm not saying that because I'm a sports fan and I make my living, you know, with sports, but I do believe the NFL is one of the most important entities in this country. I mean, you just mentioned the TV ratings. 91 of 100 TV shows this year, highest rated, were football games, were the NFL, where people are watching like it's going out of style. I mean, you go through the top 10, 9 of the top 10 or whatever it is, or NFL programs, NFL-related events. People love this league. Advertising dollars are tied in this league, and it really is right now the only thing in America that you can get people to gather around and watch live. You have a captive audience. So I do think the NFL is one of the most important entities in this country, and if they went to the CDC and got this changed, I would 100% believe it because I think this league has that much power.
Also, this season, they played close games,
sure
which is
did.
Terrific for television as well.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time ever, the NFL regular season consisted of 272 games, of course, over 18 weekends.
Right.
Of those games, 175 were within one score in the fourth quarter.
That's unbelievable. That's over 60% of the games that are going into the
there
fourth
one
quarter
score
with one
games
score
in the fourth quarter.
Right.
What more do you want?
What more do you want? You wonder why it's the most popular sport,
you
right? Want, because games
got,
aren't over.
You
five
got close
minutes
games.
In.
You got... gamblers, people that got money on games,
right,
are paying attention because the games are close. You got Vegas probably loving it, or any of the state casinos or whatever that are
any
running.
State,
any,
but Kansas and Missouri
right.
like it. Yes,
I wanted to say specifically what those are, but I don't know because we don't live in one of those areas to tell you where they go. But those places have to love it because
Iowa right now is printing cash, brother.
Because they're getting close games, and you know you get. People buying on both sides of the lines, and I think it's probably pretty good. Right?
It is, absolutely.
But one score games in the fourth quarter, like what more do you want?
It's perfect. And again, it's why we love this sport so much because teams are so evenly matched. And the reason these games are one score in the fourth quarter is because this league set itself up to allow parity around the league. It's amazing what happens when you form a league in 1970, essentially, and create the ability to have teams in all markets compete with each other and institute a salary cap like they did and a salary floor like they did in the NFL and said, this is the amount of money each team is going to have the opportunity to spend. I'm sure when they initiated that, people didn't like it. But look what it's done for the league. It has allowed this league to grow faster than maybe any sports league we've ever seen grow. And it's not done growing yet, Josh. I mean, this league continues to grow and get bigger. I mean, the TV ratings from 2019 were like up 10%. Fan attendance from 2019 was up a huge number as well. Obviously, the 2020 one factored in, so they skipped that year. But, I mean, this league just continues to grow and continues to have more eyeballs. Gambling, obviously, helps that as well. But competitive games help that. And the league was brilliant when they set it up to have competitive balance throughout their entire league. And that's why they are the number one league in professional sports in America today. And that's the one thing that's holding baseball back. That's the number one thing. When you talk to fans, the perception is your team can't compete. Nobody has that perception in the NFL.
It's not even a perception. It's real.
It's real, right. But look in the NFL, the teams that are firing coaches, New York, Chicago, Miami, all these big marketplaces. In Major League Baseball, those teams have a decided advantage because of cash. In the NFL, they're on the same page as everybody else. And if the New York Giants, a team that's been around since the 1920s, can't figure their stuff out, then that's on them. And they can't just bankroll and go and buy everybody like you can in baseball. So you've got to do it the right way. And I think fans appreciate that. When you sit down to watch an NFL game, you don't know who's going to win that game.
I mean, look at the finals week.
Yeah, absolutely.
How fantastic. We had week 18. Now, again, granted, the bad teams rose up and played well for a week. You had those division games, which I think helped fuel the fire to those bad teams playing well.
Sure.
But you got the full effort basically of everybody in the last week. We had a great last week of the regular season with a ton of drama, and it just kind of completed an ultimately wild overall NFL season, which was really fun to watch.
And you can't complain about that final week of the season at all. I mean, everybody showed up. Like I said on Monday, all the slappies came to play, and it was glorious, man. It was wonderful. Like week 18 was probably the best football watching week of the year, and that's usually reserved for the divisional round of the playoffs. Yeah. You know, that was great football on Sunday.
Speaking of close games, Dan Orlovsky of ESPN was on ESPN New York. He thinks this playoff is wide open.
I can't tell you who I think is the favorite. I could tell you there's three teams that I would be shocked if they made the Super Bowl. Shocked. I would be shocked if Pittsburgh made the Super Bowl. Right. I would be shocked if Philadelphia made the Super Bowl. And I would be shocked if the Raiders made the Super Bowl.
Then everybody else, it's wide open.
Yeah. Like, if Cincinnati goes to the Super Bowl, I'm not going to be surprised. If Buffalo goes, I'm not going to be surprised. New England, not going to be surprised. Tennessee, Kansas City, the same in the NFC. Like, If the 49ers go, I'm not going to be shocked. If the Rams, I'm just the games are going. They should be so good because our regular season was so good and the parity is so good. And you know, it's like, well, the Green Bay Packers have Aaron Rodgers, yeah, but they weren't dominant this year. They were good, really good, but they weren't dominant. And Tampa Bay's got Tom, but they've also got injuries galore and Matthew's unproven and Kyler's unproven and. You know, the Eagles or, you know, San Francisco, do you trust Jimmy? And, well, this is Buffalo's year, but they're missing Tre'Davious White. And you know, I just, there's so much good football, but I don't know if anybody is dominant.
I disagree with that, and I disagree on a couple of different levels.
You don't think it's as wide open as he does?
I don't. No, I don't think it's as wide open. I think the Chiefs and the Packers are the two clear favorites in the NFL. I think those are the two best teams right now in the National Football League. I don't think maybe you can make an argument for Tampa Bay with Tom Brady, but they've had so many injuries and guys quit in the middle of games. I mean, like, so I don't know what we're going to get from Tampa. But I do know that, in my opinion, the Chiefs and the Packers, the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC, the Packers are the best team in the NFC. And I think for both of those teams, the only way for me to see either the Packers or the Chiefs not in the Super Bowl, and it's something that we've kind of touched on all week, it's up to you. If the Chiefs screw up, then they're not going to be in the Super Bowl. If the Packers screw up, they're not going to be in the Super Bowl. I just don't see on paper, Josh, and maybe this is me, you know, living in some fantasy world, I don't see on paper two teams that are better than the Chiefs and the Packers when it comes to the entire NFL. Now, every team's got their warts and whatnot, but the Chiefs are battle-tested. They've got the veteran head coach. They've got a quarterback who knows nothing short of AFC championship games. They've got a defense that we saw at the beginning of, or the middle of the year, can play better than they've ever played before. They are, to me, the best team on paper, and the only way they can lose is if they screw it up. And I believe that with the Packers. I don't know why I've become this bigger Packer fan recently than I've ever been before.
I used to always have to remind you of the
Packers.
You
used to. I know, you did. You said, oh, Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. But they're
playoff chokers.
They are playoff chokers.
I mean, they've underachieved in the postseason with Aaron Rodgers.
Right. But I believe in the value of the script, and I think the script this year says Green Bay.
So they have to get rid of some of those demons. The Chiefs have certainly looked more vulnerable than they have maybe in the last couple of playoff runs.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be making cases next week, I think, for the Bills.
Sure. Unless they lose to the New England Patriots, which is very possible.
Possible, but I still think it's going to be the Bills. If it's New England, you know.
If you had Tom Brady, if you had Josh Allen and Bill Belichick together, like if the head coaches swapped jobs, nobody would be picking against Bill Belichick. Yeah. I think the only question is, can Mac Jones perform in the playoffs? We don't know
as a
youngster, but we didn't know what Patrick Mahomes was going to do either.
Well, he's no Patrick Mahomes, I can tell you that. I've seen Patrick Mahomes. He's no Patrick Mahomes.
Correct.
I think it's going to be the Bills, and I think it's going to be the Bengals, and, you know, so I think it's going to be chalk in the AFC, but I think as we move forward beyond this week, I think you'll be able to make cases for teams. Well, you'll have probably, unless it's New England, teams that have beaten you already this season. So
right.
We'll be in the revenge tour phase. So I don't agree that it is wide open, but I also know that both Green Bay and Kansas City have a tough road ahead.
Yeah.
Aside from, well, Green Bay's not playing, and the Chiefs are playing
so
the Steelers.
You mentioned if we get New England, that means the Raiders then beat the Bengals, right? And then they go to Tennessee.
Correct, yeah.
And then we would get New England here.
Yeah,
that's the
crazy.
Only way
yeah.
we could get New England,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Whew.
That's upsetville. I'm not expecting either one of those two things.
You know what? I would imagine, though, if you're the National Football League, don't you want the Raiders and the New England Patriots advancing to the next round of the playoffs? That's good for branding, man. The Raiders are a hot brand. The New England Patriots.
I disagree with you. I don't think they like the Raiders. So.
Oh, that's a fair point. That's a fair point.
I don't think it was just Gruden.
Right.
I don't think they like the Raiders.
You don't think they like the Raiders. But so, I also think they can't think deny that the Raiders are one of the most powerful brands in professional sports. And the longer you can keep them around, the more money you can put
in
your pocket.
They're writing them any scripts is what I'm saying.
I got you. Yeah. Yeah. They're not telling the referees in that game to keep it close for the Raiders.
We're going to look at the first in a series of postseason legacy questions we're going to ask today, starting with Andy or Patrick next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
All right, we're going to ask you a question. I would ask you to weigh in on the text line, but it appears that is down at the moment. So you could... feel free to respond at 610 Sports Casey on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Or you can call us. Yeah.
We're gonna try to get this this text line interaction back up and running at some point. But we're gonna ask a series of questions throughout the day today, kind of involving the playoffs, legacy, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
The first question I'm gonna ask Bob is in terms of legacy over the next month, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This run, who has the bigger legacy question, Andy Reid or Patrick Mahomes?
You know, it's something that I've been thinking a lot about yesterday since we decided on this topic. And cat out of the bag, this isn't anything that we're doing that we didn't plan on. And, I've sat around for the better part of almost 24 hours now trying to think of the right way to answer this question, because you could say it's a bigger legacy game for Patrick Mahomes. I could say it's a bigger legacy game for Andy Reid. Then you and I could switch our answers and still make compelling cases, right?
Yeah.
And so ultimately for me, what it comes down to is the longevity question. And I think Patrick Mahomes has more time left in the NFL than Andy Reid. I'm just spitballing that here. Patrick Mahomes has like 9 years left on a 10-year contract. Andy Reid is in his 60s and has coached 20 years in the NFL. I'm guessing that Patrick Mahomes is going to be around for a lot longer than Andy Reid is coaching in the NFL. Eventually, he's going to say, you know what, I'm going out to Malibu, man, and I'm retired, and I'm going to watch the sunset, and I'm going to enjoy everything, right? And so that's going to happen sooner rather than later, I would imagine, with Andy Reid. But for me, the answer to that question is Andy Reid, because I think Patrick Mahomes has a lot of time left to improve on that legacy. You remember, Tom Brady didn't win seven in his first 7 years, you know, with the New England Patriots. I think they won 2002, missed the postseason here or there, didn't win a couple for a decade, then, you know, got more as the career went along. I think for Andy Reid, though, the legacy question is it is done. He's in the Hall of Fame. We know that. But to have two Super Bowl championships as a head coach is very rare in this league. I mean, there's not many guys that have coached in this league that have multiple Super Bowl championships. And so while I think Andy Reid is cemented already as a Hall of Famer and everybody pretty much knows what his legacy is, if he goes out there and gets another Super Bowl, I think that takes him to a different level as a head football coach in the NFL. It does put him up there with Belichick, and it does put him up there with the Chuck Knowles of the world, and it puts him up there with Tom Coughlin, who's got a couple Super Bowls, and Bill Parcells, who's got a couple of Super Bowls, and I'm sure I'm forgetting Don Shula or somebody else like that. But, you know, the guy who with the hat, Tom Landry, like there are certain guys, Bill Walsh, that are in that just upper echelon because they have multiple Super Bowl wins. So I think from a coaching standpoint,
does George Seifert?
No, I don't think I think he only has one. I think he does only have one, but he didn't have the longevity of success that, you know, we saw here with Andy Reid and they saw in Philadelphia with Andy Reid. I just think it takes him to that next level if he goes out there and wins multiple Super Bowls. So for me, it's Andy Reid because I think Patrick Mahomes has a lot more time to win more Super Bowls than Andy does.
But you do want to stack him early.
Yeah, you do.
Right? If you want to make a run at a whole bunch or a handful, I'm not saying seven.
Right.
A handful.
Yeah.
You don't want to be Aaron Rodgers.
No, you don't. No, you really don't. Yeah.
And we've spoken about Green Bay a number of times in that vein. Like, you had Favre and Rodgers and you've won two Super Bowls.
Two Super Bowls, one apiece. Yeah.
It feels like you underachieved.
Right. I agree.
So you don't want to have a long lapse. Mm-hmm. And also, again, I think we're in Patrick Mahomes' current team window, and I don't know how much longer that is.
Sure.
Before we're turning things over around Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Like fully doing that.
Right.
And then Andy Reid, Andy Reid's got a shelf life, whatever that is. We don't know what that is, but it's much, much shorter than Patrick Mahomes. So I tend to err on the side of Andy Reid. I don't think he needs it like he needed the first one. But I think it would completely enhance it to say, yeah, he got two Super Bowls with Patrick Mahomes early in his career.
Right.
And then he retired. And then Patrick Mahomes went on to do blah, blah, blah. Sure. Whatever the rest of the story is after that. Rather than, well, I got the first one with Patrick Mahomes, who then went 10 years between titles or something like that. So I feel like there's more Andy Reid, and it's basically because he's got a shorter window in which to accomplish this. But he doesn't need it, as you mentioned.
Right.
For legacy purposes, he doesn't need it. But he's in, the one got it, the one stamped it, the win stamp it, all those things do this. It'll enhance it though, I think greatly.
Yeah.
It'll be completely forgotten that it took as long as it did to get that first one.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
If he stacks a couple here at the tail end of his career, no one will be saying, but he went to umpteen amount of years before he ever won one.
Right.
I think that'll be forgotten. You win a couple, they're like, he's a 2-time Super Bowl champ, tough.
George Seifert does have two Super Bowl wins.
He
does.
Okay.
He does have two with the San Francisco 49ers. But, I mean, you look at the rarefied air that multiple Super Bowl championships would be in. Bill Belichick, obviously, was 6. Don Shula, Tom Landry, Chuck Knoll, Joe Gibbs, Bill Walsh, Bill Parcells, Vince Lombardi, Tom Flores, Jimmy Johnson, George Seifert, Mike Shanahan, and Tom Coughlin. Those are the only folks in the history of the NFL that have multiple Super Bowl wins.
List.
And Andy Reid is sitting out there with that one Super Bowl win. And so you get that second Super Bowl win, you're in there with the greatest of the greats of all time, other than George Seifert.
You get that second Super Bowl win and then a ton of wins.
Yeah, right.
You're vaulting past a bunch of those people.
Oh, absolutely past a lot of those people. There's no question about it. I mean, Andy Reid is also in rarefied air, Josh, because he's coached in 3 Super Bowls. Only Belichick, Shula, Landry, Knoll, Gibbs, Grant, Levy, and Dan Reeves have coached in more Super Bowls than what Andy Reid has coached in. Andy Reid gets into that 4th Super Bowl this year. He's now in the same conversation with Chuck Knoll. He's now in the same conversation with Marv Levy and Dan Reeves, who don't have any Super Bowl wins but have coached teams in 4 Super Bowls. And so the legacy as a head coach, in my opinion, continues to grow. And I'm all about stacking those for Andy Reid right about now. You had mentioned about the future with Patrick Mahomes and where that's going to go in the next regime that's going to be around him when Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and all these guys start to age out. What happens next? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was thinking about this morning because Ben Maller, who we'll talk to coming up at 7:15, was talking about some of the the free agents, and they were talking about Mike Williams of the Chargers being a free agent after this season. And I'm thinking to myself, he is 6'4". He's only 27 years old right now. Won't be 28 until October. If that ain't the perfect fit going forward for the Kansas City Chiefs, right?
And not having to face him, too.
And then not having to face him, right?
Maybe he's picking anything.
You know how I am with free agents in the NFL. Yeah. I'm not a huge buyer in the free agent market because I just don't think it necessarily gives you what you need to turn your franchise around. I still think that comes with the draft. But if Mike Williams becomes a free agent in the NFL and the Chargers, for whatever reason, don't bring him back, I'm sure they will franchise him if they're unable to come to a deal with this guy. But that has to be a top target for the Chiefs if they're able to let him get away. But teams don't let good players get away. If they want to keep Mike Williams in San Diego, they'll be fine. They'll be able to keep him. But if he does hit the market, that's the type of guy. That's how you go to that next level, Josh, and say, where's the turnover going to come from? Oh, Mike Williams is available as a free agent. He's 6'4". That's the type of receiver that Patrick's never had. Ooh, good God. Pair him with, you know, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Mike Williams. Now you got yourself a ball game. Now you got yourself an unstoppable force.
And this is obviously off-season stuff that we're dealing with, but I've never liked the measurable, you know, like the measurables or whatever. I'm fully in the measurables for wide receiver.
Oh, I forward. Am too. Yeah, I am
like,
too. Yeah.
Give me 6+.
Yeah.
Give me 6'2", 6'3", 6'4". That's what I'm looking for. I'm good at the 5'11".
We got a lot of those guys. 5'11", right?
The 5'11" range. I want leaper.
Mm-hmm. Calvin Johnson.
Give me throw it up, go get it guy.
Yeah. And Mike Williams is that. Yeah.
Wherever that tree is, the throw it up, go get it tree.
Sure.
I want a piece of that one. So I think I could make a case for it being Patrick, but I think it's Andy Reid just based on
short-termness.
Super stamp his all-timeness. That's a word.
It is
with a second Super Bowl. The matchup this week though is amazing to me because we often can get somebody who's going to go left.
Right.
You seen anybody go left on this?
No.
On this Chiefs-Steelers game?
I've not seen anybody pick the Steelers. Like, or people in Pittsburgh.
Or right. I don't want to be leftist.
Correct.
Or right.
Right. Now you're rightist.
Just veering the other direction from every logo they put up when they're making their picks on television says Chiefs.
Right.
No one's going. Mm-hmm. No one's going that direction, which is kind of amazing. I was hoping we'd find that one person and go, you're an idiot.
Right. No, that guy's not out there.
We haven't found the you're an idiot guy this week.
It's early, though, in the week. Remember, yesterday is the first day of the week in the NFL. So there is still enough time today and tomorrow for the idiots to emerge. And I'm sure some nitwit out there will decide that he's going to pick the Pittsburgh Steelers on TV just to cause all sort of scuttlebutt. But maybe we won't. This may be the one time where everybody is unanimously picking, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs to win a football game. So we'll see what happens.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDF HD2 Liberty and Odyssey Station. While the NFL has had the amazing ratings we talked about in the last hour, that they've had a bunch of close games as well.
Mm-hmm.
That 60% of their games were within a score in the fourth
quarter. More than 60%, roughly. Yeah. It's a big number.
Big number.
Yeah.
So they've had close games. They've had highly rated games. They've also had lower scoring games this year. And so I guess this is okay from a Chiefs perspective because we were kind of lamenting, wow, this offense isn't quite what they were the last couple. So is the rest of the NFL.
Yeah.
The average points per game dropped about 2 points per game this season. The average scoring went from 24.8 points per game in 2021 down to 23 this season. So this is apparently as well the biggest scoring drop in more than 40 years.
Yeah, it's a huge, and it's only like 1.8 points per game or something like that. It's not a huge number,
didn't
right?
Didn't feel like it.
No, not. But we saw it with the Chiefs. We're like, they're not scoring 30 on the reg. You know?
Yeah, the Chiefs were a little less scoring. You're like, okay, are they down a couple? Yeah, probably.
Sure.
Doesn't look quite the same. So is the rest of the NFL. So I guess it's good that we're all in the same boat.
Yeah, it is. But what they don't point out, you know, in the beginning parts of this story, which I think is the major part of this story and could have an impact on everybody as we start the playoffs, are the referees and the officials. Because the penalties in the NFL this season were 18% more per game for offenses than they were a season ago. And teams were penalized 36% more often per game for holding and nearly 10% more often for false starts. Does Orlando Brown false start on every play? I mean, you're down there on the sidelines. It looks to me on television
that guy false starts
on every single play. So there's a little concern that the referees are going to call that now in the postseason. But that's a big number with penalties 18% per game more for offenses this season than they were. And teams are getting penalized 36% more often for holding in the NFL. Now, that is truly something that can affect the outcome of games. If referees are told to monitor this stuff, if they're told to keep the games close, if they're told not to let the ticky-tack plays go by, those are things that could rear its ugly head, and those are things that could have an impact on the game. And so when we're talking about the Chiefs and the Steelers on Sunday, and we say what could potentially happen, if the referees get flag happy and they're throwing flags and we're getting, you know, knocked for holding penalties on big plays and things like that, that could have a major impact on this game Sunday night. It could have a major impact on every game in the postseason.
Are you insinuating that's a little bit why scoring's down?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You think
yeah.
You think it's a
36% contrived? More often? Yeah, I think a little contrived? Bit. Sure. I think everything that happens in the league is planned.
Well, I know.
You know, I think they sit around and they decide what's working, what's not, what we need to improve, and all this
stuff.
There
will be someday where we're going to have like a Watergate scandal where you're going to bust into the NFL offices in the dark of night and finally get into that safe.
Yeah.
With your tinfoil hat.
I don't know that I want to, though.
And then you'll be like, I've been telling you all. And then they're going to cuff you and whisk you away.
And I'll be in a nut house.
You're going to be rocking back and forth in the nut house. Going, see, I told you it was all scripted.
It was definitely all scripted. I told you. And I found out why it took 50 years. I've got the answer. Why it took 50 years for the Chiefs to win another Super Bowl. Why did they screw us in the NFL?
And then you'll just be muzzled. Never hear from you again.
Never hear from me again.
You'll disappear like a bank robber.
Oh, absolutely. The NFL has that kind of power.
Because my assertion is you never hear from bank robbers again.
Never, no. Unless you go tour their house in St. Joe.
Because when I used to cover news, there was a...
When you used to rob banks.
There was a time you'd cover bank robbers.
Yeah.
And they'd get sentenced, and you're done.
Done. That's it. Gone, huh? Never heard from that guy again?
Yeah, there's gone. I'm like, wow, they're really tough on... Because, you know, other crimes, you feel like they get out.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know what they do with bank robbers. I swear, they're...
Done. They hide them.
That's the worst thing we have here.
Yeah,
you never those people never reappear. Like, oh, well, what were you? Oh, wow, you just got. What were you in for? I used to rob banks.
Oh,
nobody's ever said that.
You never hear that person again, huh? I never thought about that. I never cared to think about
convicted
that.
Murderers get out.
Mm-hmm.
Convicted whatever get out. I'm bank robbers. I swear no.
If I blow the lid off the NFL, I would never be heard from again.
I would think they would put you wherever they put the bank robbers.
Yeah, I would never. I'd be on an island in Tahiti with a different name, Joseph Sweetwood, and you would never hear from me again. That's the way it would be.
Well, that wouldn't be bad.
As long as they're paying me to live on an island, I'm not going to be like Tom Hanks and make love to a volleyball. But you know, we can do.
But maybe they would work out an agreement with you, or they would just send you somewhere.
Yeah, all right. We know you gotta go.
Okay.
Yeah.
We appreciate the fact you got us.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to work something out, but you're never going to be heard
from
again.
Quite honestly, I'm surprised the NFL bagman hasn't called yet over the years.
And just said shut up.
About it. Yeah, because they know it's true. I mean, you, 36% in penalties, that comes because that's an edict by the league. You don't all of a sudden have 36% more holding calls because, oh, you're just calling holding now. No, they're telling the refs what they want. Mm-hmm. That's how they control the game. And if they control the game, they control information.
Well done.
Thank you. All right,
this is an anniversary today. Let's see. 2001, 2011, 2021. So 31st anniversary today.
Okay.
Of I still think one of the most devastating injuries in sports.
I think it's the most devastating injury in the history of sports.
Because it left us wanting more.
Yep.
Bo Jackson was injured on this day, running against the Cincinnati Bengals as a member of the whatever city they were in, Raiders.
I think it was L.A. at the time, because I think it took place in the Coliseum.
I think they were in L.A. at the time.
And it's ironic enough that the Bengals and Raiders are playing again this weekend, and this is the anniversary of the most devastating injury in sports history.
He left us wanting more. We knew he was good. It wasn't that guy had so much potential. He was good.
He was great. Yep.
And
he was better than good.
He got injured on this play, and you'll hear the announcers, Dick Enberg and Bill Walsh on NBC, doing what you shouldn't do. On a broadcast, and I make notes of that myself all the time, don't speculate on injuries.
Bo Jackson has some room. One man to beat, and from behind, Kevin Walker saves another touchdown. This is just what the Bengals wanted to avoid.
And Walker, as he made the tackle, had only the one leg to grab, and apparently Bo Jackson, shaken up a bit, has not gotten to his feet as yet. That was a 34-yard run by Jackson, who does not appear to be seriously injured and gets a big hand from this crowd. What a player.
He may have pulled a muscle as he was trying to pull away from a tackle because he really wasn't hit on the knee. Now watch Kevin Walker in the final analysis and making all kinds of plays. He's pulling on that leg, and it could be that he just pulled a muscle that Bo did trying to pull away.
Well, it doesn't look very hurt to me. Oh, looks like he could have pulled a muscle. Or he blew his hip out.
Done for his life.
Or he's done as we know it.
Unbelievable, Josh. You and I were watching that yesterday, and we're like, oh my God, they're just speculating recklessly that he just pulled something and he's going to be okay.
He looks all right.
But you know what? I give those guys enough credit for that because that didn't look like a tough tackle at all. It looked like a routine play, but you do see the defensive guy kind of pull on his leg a little bit. But that should never have been something that dislocated his hip.
You also don't see the, because players will sometimes give you the look of, oh my gosh, this is serious.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Right? You know it when you see
that
it.
That they know right away. Bo Jackson didn't give him that look.
No, yeah. Not at all.
They
he
got
did
him
not.
Up, kind of hobbled him off. It looks like he's going to be okay. I think he just pulled the muscle.
Yeah.
He wrecked his football career. Over,
and his baseball done. Career. Yeah. And the Royals cut him the following March because Bo Jackson was owed roughly $2.4 million in salary from the Royals in the 1991 season. And the Royals said, well, we're not paying you $2.4 million to go out there and rehab your injury. And I guess this must have been before guaranteed contracts because they just cut Bo Jackson and let him go. And the Chicago White Sox, like 17 days later, signed him to a 3-year deal at $700,000 per year and were willing to pay Bo Jackson to rehab that injury. And if you look at what the Royals spent that year in salary, Bo Jackson would have been roughly 10% of their salary, 10% of their payroll back then in 1991, which was high at the time. The Royals were one of the top spenders in baseball back in the day. And Bo Jackson would have accounted for 10% of their salaries sitting on the bench and rehabbing. I understand why they did that. We didn't know at that time. And Bo never rebounded to be the baseball player that we all thought he was before that injury. And so that's why, to me, it's the most devastating injury in sports because it took one athlete that was great in two sports away from us, and we never got to see what we thought we were going to see with Bo Jackson. He could have been the greatest athlete of all time. That injury crushed it.
We chat with Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio, coaching fires and hires, and if anyone can pull upsets in this super wild card weekend. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.